1 minute and they'll do something that totally catches you off guard. Miss Beulah's 90 years old. My dad was 97 when he passed away last year. And so I'm gonna share a few things that have transpired over the last 90 years, some of the changes that have taken place over the last 90 years, over the years that Miss Beulah has been alive. So I'm gonna start with books. My dad was a reader, he loved to read, many of you are readers. So no books were published until the year 1500. That was the first book was published in 1500. By 1900, there were 35,000 books published each year. In 1995, there were 500,000 new books that were published. And in 2024, there were 2 million books published, new books published that year. How about speed? Not the drug speed, but how fast you go speed. For the first 1800 years since Christ, the maximum speed was 20 miles an hour. Do you know what that was accomplished by? Horseback. Yes, exactly. Then the train came along and that went at 100 miles an hour. And then the passenger jet came around, Jaden, and that was at 300 miles an hour. And now passenger jets fly at 600 to 700 miles an hour. And then rockets came into existence and they travel at about 20,000 miles an hour. So they're really flying, right? And the biggest changes, like you just saw in that video, have taken place with communication, right? So communication started with smoke signals, then it went to the telegraph, then it went to telephones, from telephones to email, and then now we've got these things that we call smartphones that, you know, just blow that whole thing out of the water. So we live in an ever-changing world, right? Change is happening so fast that we can't even keep up with it. But here's the tricky thing about change. Change is one of those things as human beings that is the most difficult things for us to deal with. Changes in our lives really seem to mess us up as human beings, right? It disturbs our routines, it introduces uncertainty, challenges our sense of security, and in many cases, it produces confusion and fear, right? Changes that come at us so fast and furious, we can't even we don't know how to deal with it, right? So I know I'm sounding like a bit of a Debbie Downer, but I'm actually here to bring you some good news, and you probably know where I'm going with this, right? There is one that we can count on to never change, right? We serve an unchanging God. Amen? Amen? Let's clap. Let's put our hands together. We serve an unchanging God. Right? He's not going to have mood swings. He's not going to change his mind. He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a fancy Bible term. It's called the immutable God of the Bible. And all that really means is that our God is never, ever, 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 ever going to change. Right? And we take a lot of comfort in knowing that. And the first scripture I'm going to share with you from Malachi simply states that fact. For I am the Lord, I change not. Right? What a great comfort for us to know that we serve an unchanging God. So as we kick off 2026, I'm going to share a few things with you about our God that doesn't change. And I'd really like for all of us to remember them, meditate on them, lean into them, and let these be the things that we really take comfort in as we start off this new year. We sang about it this morning. One of the things that will never change about our Lord is God's love, right? God's love for us is never, ever going to change. Now, in our world, love is one of those things that is sometimes subject to change, right? You'll hear somebody say to another person, I love you so much, I would do anything for you. Right? Anything. We used to joke, Kathy and I, with anything, right? Anything? Anything for you. Right? I would climb Mount Everest for you. And then tomorrow, forget about climbing Mount Everest for you. I just found somebody else. Right? Sometimes the love for a boyfriend or the love for a girlfriend, right? How many times have we heard a boyfriend or a girlfriend say they love each other, but they don't end up being married, right? A husband's love for a wife or a wife's love for a husband, sadly that changes. This past Christmas, I know for sure there were some children out there that were questioning the love of parents. And that's really sad, right? The love of parents was being questioned. But that's not how God works, right? We serve an unchanging God. And his love for us is not conditional, right? It's not based on things that we do. His love for us is unconditional, right? It's there all the time. And here's what it says in the book of Psalms. Psalm 89 says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. Right? God's love for us, it's firm and it's forever, right? We don't have to worry about his love changing for us. It's not altered by feelings, right? And it's not motivated by anything that we actually do. The love that we actually question in other people, we can find it in God, right? We can always be sure of his love for us. Very, very familiar verse for us, passage of scripture. For God so loved the world, right? For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. I put in quotation marks, the world. If you grew up on the church, you've probably done this exercise before. And we'll say it out loud. So where it says the world there, when we start saying it, put your name there, right? Put your name in that spot where it says the world. So let's go. For this is how God loved the world, but instead of the world, for this is how God loved, and say your name, right? That's how he loved Ron and Kathy and Marcia, that he gave his only son for us, right? So that we'll have eternal life. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing this, right? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. So his love and faithfulness are never ending, right? They never come to an end. It's not dependent on our performance. It's not dependent on what you do. You can do nothing wrong, and his love is always going to be there for us. Question for you. Do you think there's something that we can do, right, a sin or maybe an act, that would affect God's love for us? Right? Is there something you think that we can actually do that would affect his love for us? The answer is no. Right? It's no. And here it is right here. In Romans 8, it says, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, the fears for today, the worries about tomorrow. The Bible says be anxious for nothing, right? But even if we don't keep that command, that will not separate us from God's love. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, or on the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ our Lord. Is that an amen? Right? Aren't we happy that there's nothing that can separate us from God's love? Right? This portion of scripture, I would print this thing off, put it on your fridge, memorize it, right? There's nothing that we can do that will separate us from God's love. Kathy said it, right? There's a whole bunch of things that we need to work on. The Holy Spirit will convict us of things, right? But he will never condemn us. He's always going to be there and be loving us from the minute he created us. His love for us is always on the full mark, right? From the minute God created us, his love needle was always on full, right? As I get older, I'm starting to become like my dad, right? And so just before the storm, we were driving. I don't know if I was with Kathy or the boys, and I looked at my gas tank, and it was like on half. And I said, I got to go to the gas station to fill up my tank. Well, when I was a teenager, like, you know, that thing needed to be below empty before I ever thought about, you know, filling it up. But at half, I'm thinking, I got to fill this thing up because I'm getting old, right? So anyway, I filled up the tank, right? So what if I filled up the tank before the storm, and it's not an EV, it's a regular gas vehicle, and I drove it for 200-300 miles, and that needle was still on full, right? That's how God's love is for us. His love needle for us never moves. It's always on full. And for us as human beings, it's kind of hard for us to grasp that, right? Because for us, love can be such a fickle thing, right? It moves and it sways like the wind. I just saw something on television last week, right? There's this couple, they were getting divorced, they were in the entertainment industry, and they've grown apart, right? They had differences, and they call these differences irreconcilable differences. And so they said they were gonna get a divorce. And they sat there on television as they were announcing this to movie stars, and they said, but we love each other. Yeah, right? Yeah, that's a hmm. But we love each other. They don't love each other. They love themselves, right? But that's not how God's love works, right? His love for us is always on full. And thank goodness that we have this verse, because it just confirms that we're not like him, right? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, people, sadly, are going to change, right? As human beings, we will change, but God's never going to change, right? Look at what it says here in the book of Psalms. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. See, God is eternal. The earth and the heavens are going to fade away like old clothing. But not our God. He is going to stay the same. The truth of the matter behind this verse here in Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change, is if God changed, he wouldn't be God. Right? If God actually changed, he wouldn't be God. And you see, people are going to change. And some people will and may even lie to you, right? They're going to change their minds. And in some cases, people lose trust in each other. And trust is really something that's hard to build back up. But that's not how it is with God, right? He's not going to lie, and he's not going to change his mind. Here's what it says right here in Numbers. God is not man that he should lie, or son of a man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? See, it's impossible for God to lie. When he says it, he is going to do it. Here's a beautiful portion of scripture as well. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A real simple verse, but if you really think about it, think about all the things that Jesus does for you that you can count on, right? His compassion, his love, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his holiness. These are things that we rely on each and every day, and we never have to worry about them changing in our God. The other thing I really love about Jesus and the things that doesn't change about him, he doesn't get tired, right? He doesn't get weary. Right? Look at this verse right here. In Isaiah, it says, have you not heard? Have you never understood the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all earth? He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Do you know when some of us humans are at our worst? When we are tired. We are at our worst. worst when we're tired. We as Christians, sadly, are at our worst when we're tired, right? We get tired of each other. We get tired of somebody in the body. They said something that offended me, and I'm tired of that person, right? We get tired of our children. They're always nagging at us, those little children of ours, right? Or we get tired of them because they don't listen to what we want them to do, right? We get tired of our spouse, right, for something, and we write them off. We get tired of them. But for some crazy reason, we don't expect God to get tired of us. We mess up time and time again, and we want him to be the same when we get tired of each other. And thank goodness, and praise the Lord, he doesn't get tired of us, right? He will not get tired. He doesn't grow weary of us. Here's what he said. He did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him, right? He's for us, right? He promises to save us, and he wants us to be home with him one day. The other thing that doesn't change, point number two, is the word of God does not change, right? His word is never, ever going to change. Psalm 119 says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens," right? If God established it and put it into place, it doesn't have to change. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to take away from it. It's eternal, right? Pastor Bill used to have a saying, and where's David? I'm going to probably mess it up. He used to have a saying, and I think this is how it went. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it, right? God's word is eternal. We don't have to change it. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to remove it, as some are in the practice of doing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, right? Things are going to pass away, but God's word is not going to pass away. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand firm forever, right? So we've got the word of God that we need to be into it. We need to be living it. We need to be chewing on it. God's word is never going to change. Point number three. His promises also do not change. Now, back to Pastor Bill. He used to be reminding us of how many promises there are in the Word. How many promises are there? How much? 7,400 and something, right? I didn't Google that one. I should. He's got so many promises for us in his word, right? And not one of us can point a finger at the Lord and say, "You didn't keep one of those promises," right? Not one of them he didn't keep. He keeps every one of his promises. Praise be to the Lord, for who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses, right? When God makes a promise, he keeps that promise, right? He's a promise keeper, right? That's where the word comes from. Jesus Christ is our promise keeper, right? There's a song that, we don't sing it here, but it's that, the Waymaker song, right? It says he's a waymaker, miracle worker. He's a promise keeper, right? He does not change. 2 Timothy says, "If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He keeps all of his promises through Scripture." Joshua 21. "Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one of them was fulfilled." Right? He's a promise keeper. Right? He is a promise keeper, and whatever he says in his word, all of those thousands of promises, he is going to fulfill them for us. Psalm 119, "He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for generations to generations," right? I grew up in Belize, and my dad had a beautiful house right by the ocean. It was about 30 yards right from the sea, and there was nothing in between it, right? Just the sand. And as a little boy growing up, I used to desire to go swimming in that ocean, right? And my dad would say to me, son, we're gonna go this weekend. We're gonna go this weekend. I never went swimming in Belize with my dad. We call him the goat, by the way. He was a great father, right? But we never went swimming in Belize, right? People are gonna let you down, right? People will fail you. People are gonna break promises, but Jesus Christ isn't that way. Our God isn't that way. He's gonna keep every single promise that he says to us, right? He's faithful and he's not gonna let us down. Here's the other thing that will never ever change. Point number four. Our utter and total dependence on God will never change. We need him for everything. We need him for strength. We need him for wisdom. We need him for provision, right? The very breath that we just took just now came from the Lord, right? Don't sit there and think that you're all that because you're breathing, right? He's the one that gives you that breath, right? In the book of Isaiah, it says, I think it's Isaiah, it says, he gives breath to everyone, right? So we need him for everything. That's never, ever, ever, ever going to change. Without God, we're nothing, right? Without him, we're absolutely nothing. Without him, we can't even breathe. So we desperately, desperately need him, right? Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? Kathy said that, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, right? So many of us are leaning on our own understanding, right? We make decisions based on our experiences and what we believe is right. We're leaning on our own understanding. We need to be trusting the Lord for every single thing. Jesus Christ exemplified this, or we spoke about this last week. What's the one thing, or one of the things that we need if we're going to actually mature and grow in Jesus Christ? We need to be surrendered to him. We need to be submitted to him. Jesus was submitted to the Father in the book of Luke. He went to him often, and he cried out to him, and he prayed to him, right? He even said to him, you know what? Take this cup, but not my will, your will. He submitted to the Father, right? If Jesus Christ submitted to the Father, how much more do we need to be submitted to him, right? We desperately need him. We cannot live our lives without him. And here it is right here, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? So we need him for everything, right? And we go through life, many of us, thinking that we can do it on our own, our own understanding, our own experiences, our own knowledge. But Jesus is saying in this verse, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. We need to be seeking him and obeying what he calls us to do in his word, right? That's what we need in 2026 and beyond. How many of you here have daily time with the Lord? You could put your hands up. We're all friends here. Right. So that daily time with the Lord, what do you call it? What do you call that time? What do you call it, Donna?
Morning.
Morning time, okay. Devotions.
Quiet time.
Quiet time.
Time alone with God, okay. So a number of years ago, Pastor Dave brought something radical to us as a church. We showed up here one Sunday morning and he came to this pulpit and he said to all of us, I want all of you to stop coming to church. But he said, I want you to start being the church. Right? Stop coming to church Start being the church. Start loving each other. Start caring for each other. Start pouring into each other. Start praying for each other. Engaging with each other. Loving each other as the Bible calls us to. So I'm going to try something a little radical this morning. Maybe not as radical as that. But what I'm going to say to you, stop having devotions. Stop having quiet time. Stop having alone time. Stop having morning time. And let's start having obedient time. I'm going to obey what he calls us to do, right? Brother John gave a really good example of this a number of months ago, where he was sharing about quiet time, devotions. I call it devotions, right? And he gave a real example, a real life example of this lady, a married lady, and she would get up and put on beautiful Christian music, put on a cup of tea, sit there, have her quiet time, her devotion time with the Lord, an hour, maybe even more. And one day, she left that time, and her husband forgot to put away his socks, and she let him know, bit his head off, right? The Bible says that we need to be obeying God's word, right? And so we need to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and not deceive ourselves, right? That lady was deceiving herself. She was having her quiet time. She put on beautiful music. She had a cup of tea, and she left that time, and then she bit her husband's head off because he left the socks down. She was deceiving herself, right? That's a lie. She looked at herself in the mirror and she went away from it and she couldn't recognize herself. That's being deceitful, right? So quiet time, devotional time, all that time is really, really important. The most important part of that time is being doers of that word and not hearers of it only, right? Are we doing what the Lord has called us to do? Pastor Dave preached a sermon a few months ago, and it was about the different aspects of the family, right? And there is the husband, there's the wife, there's the kids, there are workers. And each one of those, he put scripture to them on what we're called to do, right? Obeying what Jesus has called us to do as husband, as wife, as children, as workers. Are we being obedient to the word of God? You want to be righteous, right? For it is those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it's those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Right? So we need to be doers of God's word. We need to be letting it transform us and change us and draw us into the image of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with a few more statistics. We started with stats. I'm going to close with stats. There's a research done recently to study the effects of Christians that were in God's word and being obedient to it, right? And it was an extensive study. It was 80,000 people, sorry, 40,000 people from ages 8 to 80, so pretty extensive. And the study was to see how engaging in scripture and obeying scripture actually impacted somebody's life. And so when people engage in scripture once or twice a week, there were negligible effects on key areas of their lives. So once a week, if we're in scripture, there was some effect on key areas of your life. The same was true if the people engage in scripture twice a week. So once or twice a week, there was some effect on your spiritual life. When Christians engage in scripture and obey scripture three times a week, there was a slight pulse, a faint heartbeat, right? So there's a little bit more going on. Something moved in the behavior of the person that was engaging and being obedient to Scripture three times a week. Now, the folks that were doing this study, this is where it got interesting for them, because they didn't expect this next change that took place, right? When Christians engage in Scripture 4 days a week and were obedient to what the Scriptures were saying, instead of a slight increase from 3 to 4, here's what actually took place in the lives of believers who engage in Scripture and obeyed Scripture four times a week. Feeling lonely dropped by 30%. Anger issues dropped by 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped by 40%. Right? The other person didn't change. You change because you're being obedient to Christ's word. And bitterness in relationships dropped by 40%. Alcoholism dropped by 57%. Here's a crazy one, because this is the church that we're talking about. Sex outside of marriage dropped by 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped by 60%. Right? This is if you engaged and were obedient to the Bible four times a week. These last two, Clinton, David, look at this. Sharing your faith jumped 200% if you were in Scripture and being obedient to it four times a week. Right? Look at this last one. They will like this. Discipleship jumped by 230% when people were engaged and being obedient to God's word only four times a week. I'm not standing up here saying, hey, only engage and be obedient to your Bible four times a week. There's 7 days in the week. But at 4 days a week, being engaged in it, being obedient to it, look at the things that took place in people's lives, right? The study just confirms that we need to be doers of God's word, right? God put that in there not to make it hard work for us. He's not trying to busy us. He knows it's the best thing for us if we're obedient to what he calls us to do. So, as we kick off 2026, there's a lot of changes that happen out there, but our God's unchanging, right? His love for us is unchanging. His word is unchanging. His promises are unchanging. And you know what else? Our need for him is also unchanging. We desperately, desperately need him, right? And so we need each other. We need to be engaged in each other's lives. Yeah, we need to be the church. We need to be encouraging. We need to be challenging. We need to be praying with. We need to be exhorting one another, right? We need to be mentoring each other. We need to be in each other's lives. And more importantly, we need to be in his word. And we need to be obedient to what that word calls us to do. Some of the things are hard. They're not easy, right? Love your wife like Christ loves the church, right? Wives, honor your husbands, right? And be submissive to him as unto the Lord. Those are not easy things to do, right? However, when we're obedient to him, life is full and sweet and rich. And we get to experience some of these things that are on the screen this morning. So that's it. That's all I have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed unchanging. We live in a crazy, crazy, crazy world, right? Even just this weekend, there's some things that took place in the news in other parts of the world that just blows our mind. But we don't have to worry about that stuff, Father. Yes, we need to be aware. We need to be in prayer. But Father, we take great comfort in knowing that we have a God that is unchanging. We just spoke about four things that are unchanging, but there's so many more attributes about you that don't change. And so we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us your word and that you're always there for us. So we thank you. We praise you. I just pray, Lord, that for myself and my brothers and sisters, that we become doers of your word. Be obedient to what you've called us to do through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.